The third speaker in the session will be Gergely Gábor Barnaföldi. He's the group leader of the Heavy Ion Theory Group at Wigner and also the head of the Wigner Scientific Computing Laboratory Infrastructure. He got his PhD in 2006 at Pötvös University, and he spent a postdoc here at UNAM, Mexico, as well as Kent State University in the United States. He's been a CERN, he's been an ALIS member since 2006, and he's currently the head of the Hungarian ALIS group. So we're looking forward to your presentation.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Okay. So first of all, let me thank you, the organizers, to present this talk here, which is about the heavy ion physics present and future at the Wigner RCP. This is not only my task. There are several national infrastructures which are involved in this, indeed several international groups and many people from the Wigner Institute. So this could be a kind of summary of all of these works, and I really apologize those who couldn't fit to the big picture. So the universe is 13.7 billion years old, and thanks to my student Balázs Pál and István Szapudi, you can see a very large scale picture of the current universe. But it started something like this. Maybe István will say that this is not true, but if I'm going through on the list of the story of the universe, we have the Big Bang, we have the very strongly interacting quark gluon plasma-like phase, then we have the first atoms, then the whole thing is cooled down and expanded, and at a certain point reached to this very nice picture, which most of you know very, very well. How can we investigate this? So we are interested in how the matter was of the universe this looks like. So we can do, of course, astronomical observation, we can do astrophysical observations, we can do high energy particle accelerations, doing heavy ion collisions to recreate the matter. And after a certain point, only theory is there. And this is what somehow covers the fields of heavy ion physics, which aims to find the properties of the universe matter after microseconds of the Big Bang. So the question is whether we can recreate this in the laboratory was answered by Marco before. So the thing is very simple. We have to choose the largest nuclei which are stable, and we can collide them at very high energy, like tera electron volts in the LHC. And then we hopefully can create something. The second point is okay, if we create it, but we have to measure this. And this is why we have this huge facilities like the ALIS, which is the dedicated detector of the heavy ion research at CERN. So you see that this is the picture, how theoretically the universe was evolved. And this is the picture which was shown very nicely in details by Marco previously, that once you have the two colliding nuclei, you have a forming of the quark gluon plasma phase, then you have a hadron gas phase. Through on the system, you have viscosus hydrodynamics, which is a highly non-trivial thing, especially when you have the relativistic handling. And then you have the resonances and free streaming, and the after the Grinberg freeze out, you have just the hadrons, what we have. The funny thing that we use to compare these two things, or used to make show them parallel, but if you focus on this, that this story, which has a very, very short time scale, it's really just a very tiny slice in this much more larger story. But of course, there are similarities on this, and some of our colleagues, Tamás Csörgő's group, is evolving models how these things can live together. So what is the goal? The goal is to understand the phases of the strongly interacting matter. And some of you know very well that typically the phase diagrams are in a opposite order. So somewhere you have the pressure here and the temperature here, but due to historical reason, then due to have some connection to our possible measured quantities, we have like this. The temperature is measured in mega electron volts, and as it's, this is the coolest point, and this at the very top, we can reach even the temperature of the universe. And this is why I put this nice figure here, just to show that how it goes down. On the other axis, you have the baryon density, where we use the special unit, saturated nuclear matter. This is the one which basically very close to the one when it consists us as a natural bodies of the today's universe. And if you move to this direction, you have much more denser objects, but still cold. So this could be, for example, the compact stars. And I restrict myself to the hot part, but tomorrow Peter Kovács will speak about the compact star part of this phase diagram. Here you can have other issues with strangeness and many other things. But what I would like to focus is that how the phase transition can happen and how the hadronic matter can turn to the quarks and gluons and vice versa. And for this, we can use several accelerator facilities with the large devices. Sorry for this one. And here you see the RIC and the LHC direction. Then there's also a lower energy part, the FAIR at the GSI and the NICA in Dubna. These are all focusing different directions and searching not only for the phase transition, but for the critical point, which I will also mention. And if you go lower, then maybe you can also explore the chiral transition, which was also mentioned by Marco. So this is the big picture what we have, and this is what we would like to explore. And our colleagues are very much attached with the LHC experiments and also with the FAIR. Okay, so this is a space-time evolution of high energy nuclear collisions. You see the two incoming guys here, and then the nice light cone. And in case of you don't have, it could be a small system or something where the quark gluon plasma cannot form. It's the description is more simpler than on the opposite side, where you have the QGP phase, including all the most extreme physics theory what we would like to explore. So, or research from the theoretical side focuses on how to model this, and or research on the experimental side focuses on how to measure, how to find out this, these phases or these signatures from the outcoming hadrons. Okay, so how this we are doing at the Wigner. So the heavy ion theory research group is, focusing on the effective field theory and the strongly interacting matter, which is related mostly to the GSI and FAIR physics. And we are very much interested in the hadronization, especially using the non-extensive statistical physics method. We are also modeling the high energy collisions with this Hygin++ code. We have new thermodynamical and hydrodynamical approaches, which are focusing on this viscosus relativistic hydrodynamical evolution. And finally, this has some relations either to gravitational physics or to rheology, which is the movements of rocks and geological things. And on the other side, we have also the compact stars, which which we'll speak about tomorrow. And of course, we are participating in this large scale experiment. Here, I just would like to highlight a few interesting points, which is very recent. So it's coming from this year, and using the recent, not only exploring interesting questions, but also focusing on using novel technology. And this is the one which is about the elliptic flow predicting from a deep neural network. So thanks to Marco, we know everything about the elliptic flow, and we know very well that this originally we have a spatial anisotropy due to the peripheral collisions of the nuclei, which can be turned to the azimuthal momentum space anisotropy, and this can be described with this harmonic coefficient, which is very well measured at the RIC in many, many cases. The interesting thing that this can be turned to the outcoming hadrons can be turned to pictures, which pictures can be used as an input for a deep neural network. And with this network training only at one minimum bias energy at 5 TeV, it's very, very nicely working and reproducing the result, the simulation data what we have, which is close to the data which was measured also by Alice. And this is not only true for the different centralities, but also true for the transverse momentum dependence. The interesting thing is that once you have this train network, you can use this for any energy. So the NCQ scaling, which is related to the coalescence model, which was also mentioned, the energy scaling, the multiplicity scaling is all encoded in one single minimum bias collision, which property could be picked up by the neural network. Okay, another interesting thing, has somebody asked Marco about this Boltzmann parameter, and together with Tomáš Biro, our group is very much focused on to extend the Boltzmannian thermodynamics to the non-extensive thermodynamics, where the Thales-Pareto distribution describes very well this the spectra what we can have. This spectra usually have two parameters. One is the parameter Q, which you relate it somehow to the size of the system or the coupling of the particles, and also have a temperature-like property. And an interesting thing what we found, that if you put these two things together, so this is the temperature at a certain characteristic temperature, and this parameter Q, which related to the system size which is kind of tiny in compared to the Avogadro number of particles, which typically handled in physics, then we found a lot of scaling type of behavior. So here you can see a different mass particles up to on the top of each other. Also, the scaling is related to the multiplicity production in the event. So this can go down very this can be used very well to predict, even in small system, to search for quark gluon plasma. The small systems can be even proton-proton collisions or something very small. Another thing that the same method can be used to explore the underlying event. The underlying event is something like that. If I'm going to this nice cover picture of the physical journal G, that you have the jets back and forth, as in many cases it was pointed out earlier, and there is the bulk guys who are all around it. It's rather symmetric. And the question is, where is the borderline between these two kind of things? And applying the Thales thermometer, you can measure very well that how it's thought, how this isotrope part turns to the jetty part, and this very well correlates also with the event-shaped classified events. And this was also presented. Okay, so after this brief theoretical highlights, I would like to turn to the experimental activity of the Wigner Research Center related to heavy ions. And as it was pointed out, we are very much involved in, but we are also in the Ni61 shy. Let me start with this. So these two things is alongside the LHC, but as Alice is a collider experiment of the LHC, the Ni61 is not. There's a special area. This is the north area, the name it got, the Na, and this is connected to the super proton synchrotron, which is a successor of the LHC with a lower energy. And let me focus on this first. So this is a fixed target experiment. You have the beam here, you have the target, and then you have a very large TPC, which has been extended nicely by our group. So this is the innovative detector, the innovative gaseous detector development momentum group leaded by Dezső, and András László is very much involved to build up these extra TPCs in order to cover the full space of this detector. Actually, one more thing that the NI 61 used to be NI-49 earlier, and this is very famous because that was the first CERN experiment where the Hungary as a group joined. So we are very much love this thing because this is how everything is started in the Hungarian community. The main goals of this experiment, there are two main directions. One is to explore the critical endpoint, which is here you see some example measurements. And the other thing that we can produce neutrinos here, which can be shoot through the Earth and measured in some different places, like in Japan, in J-Park, and that brings you to some further investigations. The other thing is the ALICE. So ALICE is a large ion collider experiment at the CERN LAC, and recently we just celebrated the 30th anniversary of our detector. Here you see the big cake, and Marco is sitting very close to the cake, and I think somewhere here also me, because we were about to get some slices. And usually when you have a birthday, you used to get present, but in Alice's case, it was opposite. We gave a present to the community, and the present was this about 300 pages of story, the journey through QCD, where we collected all the information about the high energy heavy ion collisions and all the things what we have learned so far, nicely summarized in about one big volume. Okay, but Hungarians were in ALICE in from the early beginning. For example, if you just see a brief history, so everything is started in the mid 90s, and in the very first meeting, you see the signature of usual Zimányi in the original document, and also György Vesztergombi was there. Today, there's a school named after Jozsó Zimányi, and also a very famous international prize in the theoretical heavy ion physics, and György Vesztergombi is named our national infrastructure, which is about one of the key laboratory of the Wigner related to high energy physics. And we were very much involved in the R&D activities from the early beginning. The data acquisition system was designed and made by the Budapest group in the first time, and we were also involved in the TPC, and this which is ended up in today that however Hungary is a small fraction among the 2000 participants. Yeah, ALICE collaboration, but we have 34 people, including everybody, engineers and students, who are related to the ALICE experiment. And in the last 10 years, we were very much connected. Of course, we had the theoretical background. We have a strong participation in the R&D activities. We were involved in the time project chambers development and the build, and also the online offline computing system, the ALICE O2QR, which was also partially done by the Budapest DAQ group. And not least, we have also very strong in computing due to the Wigner data center reserve capacity for the data analysis. So just to highlight a couple of points, so this is the CRU design, which was done in the group by Tivadar, Kish, and David. And this is today a radiation tolerant 4 terabit per second ohm speed device. And we were also involved the quality assurance of the GEM-based TPC, which is today one of the largest 90 cubic meter volume TPC of the world. And slightly we were involved in the inner tracking system, the ITS2 upgrade. You see some colleagues here, and of course the data analysis and the software developments as well. And here you see some pictures of our colleagues just finishing the TPC in the bottom. Okay. Today, as Marco already mentioned, we are doing run 3, which is the third run of the LHC, which means that we have the proton-proton measurements, which CERN soon turn to be in lead-lead collisions, hopefully, finally, I hope very much. And group's focus was originally on PID and the JET structure, which is led by Robert Vertesi, but we are very much investigated the charm hadron production and DD correlations, and also heavy flavor, and the underlying event is doing by Yula Bensedi, who is working together with the Mexican group strongly. And here you see some results which the Budapest group has been placed in. We are thinking on the future as well. So Marco mentioned two ongoing R&D activity of the ALES. This is the ITS3 and the other is the focal. In ITS3, we are responsible for the cooling of this bent silicon pixel sensor, which is a very hard thing because the electronics is very dense and very, very powerful. So you have to remove the energy at a certain point. And here you see some tests, and this is how it looks like, hopefully, at the end of the day. And with this technology, we can double the precision of the heavy flavor measurements, which is very much the focus in our analysis group. Another thing that we are trying a new upgrade of the DAQ system with the new link, this low power GBT links, which are a kind of extension of the existing ALES links, which are radiation hard, very, very tolerant, and maybe at a certain time can be turned to a very full optical links, which is getting close to the ones which are using in the quantum technologies. Okay, ALES3 has been already mentioned with all of the things, so I don't go to the details. I think I have 1 minute or something like zero. Okay, so there are two things which I would like to mention. That one, just to back here, that we are very much involved in the muon ID, again, with the innovative gaseous detector development group. We are planning to do we are about to make plans for the future layouts of the ALES3 detector. And another interesting point is that this technology can be turned, for example, to medical application, and together with the Bergen group in Norway, the Bergen PCT collaboration, we are using the same techniques used in ALES to build a proton CT for cancer hadron therapies, which is very promising for the future. So, I mean, this is my last slide. So all in all, the heavy ion physics and DIGNET is very well planned for the short and long range as well. And we are very much involved both in the R&D and the theoretical side. So if any of you things to change your mind, we are very welcome you in the group. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this excellent talk. Maybe we have a time for just one question before going to the coffee break. People are interested in that. I think you can find a speaker as well. No, Victor. Interesting, please.
So you said you are responsible for the cooling of the ITS3.
Yeah.
What is the cooling mechanism?
The cooling mechanism is a funny thing. There is a very special material which we are using. So here you see that. So we have these band layers, the silicon layers, and then between them we are planning to do this carbon foam, which is a very new material. It's made from carbon, but it's like a sponge. I know that sponge and foam are different, don't kill me, but it's very much looks like in order to understand. And the idea is to have pressed air through the system, which is sucking out on the other side. And since the carbon foam is very material budget friendly, so you can easily apply this not to lose any efficiency on the detector. On the other side, you can push through the air with high not so high pressure, and then it cools down. We investigated the water cooling version and also the air cooling version. That finally, air cooling seems to be the one which will work.
Thank you very much, and let's thank the speaker again. Like to hand over a little bit of souvenir for memory. Thank you very much for the talk.